All right, and now we are here with two of my personal friends. The first is
Alicia, H-Town Fifi.
Yeah, I didn't know what you wanted to call. All right, and I also have Miss Knight. Well, yeah.
Nigel.
All right, no first or last name, just Nigel. All right, so I've invited both of them here because this is part of a series of segments, basically just looking at different personality types and the different personality types that we should all surround ourselves with. Specifically, Aishan Fifi, I have her here because she is self-motivated to do just about any and everything that she ever puts her mind to. It's like an energizer rabbit. Like, she just never stops, in a good way, right? And then we also have Nyjah. I met her a year ago, but it's like, it doesn't really matter what I say. She's like, yeah, and again, like, it sounds like she's being nonchalant. Nah, it's really because she's open-minded to new experiences, new people, new ideas, and I love that about her. That was me explaining explaining who they are from my eyes. But if you would, Nyjah, can we start with you? Can you start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
I'm Nyjah, 32, originally from New York, and I move around a lot. So I've been, I live in like four different states at this point in my life. And I like to travel. Yeah, okay. Definitely love to travel.
All right.
All right, Felicia or H-Town Fifi. So I am 30 years old. I have three small children. I love, 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 love Beyonce. And I lived in Louisiana for a few years and now I'm back in Texas.
Okay, good. All right, now first, let's start with a couple of definitions. So since I'm interviewing both of you at the same time, it'll feel like I'm kind of bouncing back and forth in a kind of like a disorganized way, but just kind of bear with me. All right, so first, the motivated, people who are self-motivated. There's a general desire to do something, right? And so when I read it, I immediately thought to do something positive. So that's the vein in which I want to go. Mm-hmm. There's a general desire to do something positive, mm-hmm. Okay? And for the open-minded, there's a willingness to consider new ideas in an unprejudiced manner, okay? So I've invited both of you here, and neither one of you said, no, I don't see myself that way, right? So I'm assuming that you do see yourselves in the way in which I see you. And so I just want to ask, why do you think you're self-motivated and or open-minded?
I think I'm self-motivated because of just like my life and like what I've been through and stuff. And also because I know that this is going to sound a little crazy, but kind of feel like if I don't do it, it won't get done, you know? I feel like if I motivate myself, I'm less stressed. If that makes sense. Just like being a mom with three kids. Because I don't know if I've ever been like this, but since having kids, it's almost like I have this new drive to be motivated. Mm-hmm. You know, because now I have purpose. Mm-hmm. Not that kids are the only thing that can give you purpose, but like when you have kids, it's like, oh shit, now I really got to get my life together because mm-hmm. I have to, you know, keep these three humans alive and whatever. So I think that just being a mom kind of put that drive in me to be more self-motivated because I want to give them the best. So I think I do see myself as self-motivated, but I wish I was more self-motivated in other areas of my life, too.
So, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, weight. I know that, like, we started writing, and, like, that was really fun when I was, like, really into it, but then, like, life happens, and then you just lose. Not that you lose interest, but it's like, okay, what is my priorities right now? Mm-hmm. And so I wish that I can push myself to be self-motivated in different areas, like health and, like writing and stuff, because that is fun for me, and not just like what everybody else needs from me.
So what I hear you saying is purpose is a driving force to your mm-hmm. motivation.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Nyjah. Open-minded.
Open-minded. I'm not sure if I'm open-minded or if I just go with the flow. It's just more so, as long as it's not harmful to anybody, I'm okay with it. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, I think it's because of growing up in New York that you see and do so much that nothing really shocks you anymore, which is probably, you become a little jaded. But, like, moving to other places and then seeing different things, and you're just like, oh, okay, so that's how other people live, and that's what other people see. And so, moving down here to Houston, I was just like, all right, this reminds me of home. And so, yes, I'm open-minded, but I think it's more so just being comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. I think as long as I'm comfortable, then, yeah, I'm 100% open-minded. But you will have to, like, it will have to be, like, a serious detriment to me or yourself for me to be like, eh, I don't think that's okay. Like, it's just, it's more so just, like, we're here, we are going to see it, we're going to, it's going to happen, so, yeah.
Okay. And so what I heard from you, I heard actually two things, but the first thing that I heard was exposure and then being comfortable. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So my next question is this. So what are the characteristics of someone who is self-motivated and open-minded? And some of the things that you all talked about to me were characteristics. For instance, you did say purpose, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have purpose, and that purpose is what drives your motivation. Mm-hmm. And for you, you are already pre-exposed to a lot of different cultures. And those cultures made you say, you know what? There's nothing wrong with this being different. So it's okay. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of helped shape your life. At least that's how I see it.
Characteristics of a self-motivated person, I think they have to be their own person already, because self-motivated means that you don't need anybody around you, I guess, to motivate you to do something. You just have to know, like, why is it, whatever you're trying to do, why? Like, what is the why behind what you're trying to do? Because that right there will help you to motivate yourself. So you have to be able to, like, I don't know, like, be able to discern different situations or and priorities, if that makes sense. And you have to know, you just have to know why you need to do that one thing. Why is it so important? And then that right there will help you to be self-motivated.
Okay. So no outside validation is required.
Right.
Priorities and a sense of why.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes back.
You just make that sound so good.
Because
I look like I said it in those words, but I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I was trying to say.
And for yourself, what are the characteristics of an open-minded person?
Somebody that's really accepting, and, like, you have to be accepting of other people. You have to be open to other people. You have to be sociable. You have to be willing to learn. Like, you can't be open-minded and at the same time really closed off with your thinking. Like, if you think one certain way and then that's all the way you think, then you're not going to be open-minded to these new experiences and people, because you're stuck in the way that you think. So you just have to be willing to learn, willing to go out and meet people and do things that maybe might not make you comfortable at first, but you'll become comfortable with it.
So what I heard you say was to be accepting, sociable, and a willingness to continue to learn.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a meme that I read today. It was something that I screenshot, like, maybe about 3-4 years ago. And it basically said that the minute you stop learning is when you start dying.
Mm. Yeah. Because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
You have to continue to learn.
I'm thinking about, like, so many people who, like, once they retire, or even when their spouse dies,
mm-hmm.
that's like, give them a year or two, and, you know, they die. And it's kind of like they never had anything outside of, you know, those things that kind of stimulated them.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere, I don't know who it is that said it, but that we as Black people, we've only been reading for, what, 165 years? Mm-hmm. Before that, we weren't
allowed to
talk to and all that. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying that there's so much more information out there that we still don't know. Mm-hmm. And that if we just gave ourselves the time and the space to actually learn, just learn anything, just learn mm-hmm. more. Think about how more open-minded you'll be, mm-hmm. you know, because like as Black people, I don't want to say Black people as like religious Christian people, like our some of our parents were like that. I know for me, that's how like my auntie was, and I'm not, I won't lie, I grew up so closed-minded because of what I was taught, and honestly, what I was allowed to think. And so once I became like a teenager, and a little like maybe like 16, 17, I was like, I don't feel that way about mm-hmm. what you're saying. And, you know, it was like, oh, you're being disrespectful because you're disagreeing with me. But it's like, I'm not being disrespectful. I just don't agree. Like, mm-hmm. I, you know, and I had a conversation with a friend. I was like, you know, some of the things that I do now or that I've done, I would have never thought that I would have ever done or even, you know,
experienced
or whatever, because I was so closed-minded. Mm-hmm. And I think that once we start to learn more and just be open to new experiences and stuff, we do start to like it's almost like we come out of our shell a little bit more, and mm-hmm. we start to be more open-minded to anything and everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's so amazing that both of you kind of like springboarded into my next question. My next question was basically, who for you has been, in your case, someone who's, you know, showed you how to be self-motivated, mm-hmm. and how did you adapt or adopt, you know, their model into who you are, and the same for you, with being open-minded. Like, were there any people in your life, either as a young kid, a preteen, teen, adult, who kind of helped mold or shape that type of behavior that you currently have?
Okay, so for me, number one, I kind of think that you're born with it. Because I feel like I'm more motivated now, like I said, because I have children, and I know that I want to provide them with, you know, a better life than I had. But even like as a young kid, I think I kind of was motivated. But I feel like a person who, like in my adult life, who's taught me to be self-motivated is Rebecca, Miss Almond. And the reason why is because when I, like my first year of teaching,
that wasn't your first year of teaching, but when she was there, it was like she was always working, and then
yeah.
she was there before everyone else, and yeah. I got there early.
Yeah.
She was there before me.
She was like,
I was supposed to say, you
so
get early and you stay late.
Right, but like she, so my first year teaching at the school we were at, she, Travis was working at some place, but he worked overnight, so like to get to work in the morning, she would come and pick me and my kids up. I'd take her car, I'd drop her off at work 4:30 in the morning at the school. I leave, drop my kids off at daycare, and then drop her kids off at school, and then still be back at work by 7:30. So she was there literally all day. But my very first year of teaching, like, I saw how hard she worked, and I'm like, do you have a life? Like, what's going on? And so, but she was always, like, a really great mother, single mother, but, like, the fact that she was so self-motivated, she didn't need anybody else to, like, what he said, validate her and stuff, and she just worked so hard, and I always admired that about her. And like, I'm like, if she can do it, I know that I can do it. And so like, ever since I met her, I tried to remember that I can be more self-motivated when it comes to like, especially work, because mm-hmm. y'all know it's what we do. It requires a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of time. And so, but even like outside of work, her relationship that she has with God and that she has with her family and her friends, like she makes that a priority, and she, you know, like everything for her is she's just like, she pushes herself to still make time for everybody and still be motivated in all those different areas. Even like with cooking, that's her passion. She self-motivates to learn different recipes and, you know, even brings food to you and stuff. And so, yeah. But she is the person I think has motivated me to be more self-motivated. Sorry, that was a lot.
No, it's good. I think mine is a little backwards.
That's okay.
Because I think I'm open-minded because my family wasn't open-minded. Especially, like, my parents, my aunts, and my uncles. Like, my father's from Alabama and my mama's from Puerto Rico. And they are very close-minded when it comes to certain things. And even to this day, we'll get into conversations and I would tell my mother, that's not right. You can't think like that about a person. And she'll get mad at me saying, well, you can't tell me how to think. And so having those conversations, like, we had those types of conversations since I was a teenager. To this day, like, I live in Texas because I love my mother. But the closer we live to each other, the less we get along. And so I was just, like, for me, it's more so, I never want to be that person. I never want to look at somebody and say, oh, I don't want to talk to you because of this preconceived notion that I have of you without even giving you the opportunity to speak. And so coming from my parents, like, I see how, like, being that way can close you off and make you stay, like, my parents could have done so much more. They were both new to New York, and they did a lot. Don't get me wrong. They did a lot, but I believe they could have done so much more if they were just more open-minded to the people that they spoke to and the people that they were around, because they got comfortable with who they were with. Like, the people my father hung out with and were around mostly were people from his town in Alabama. His town in Alabama is not big. But in New York City, they all stuck together, and they all formed this really close friend group, which was great. But at the same time, they didn't really open themselves up to a lot of other people. And I, for me, it's more so I want to be able to open myself up to a lot more people so that I'm never stuck in that box. So, like, if I'm ever like, you know what, this is not the situation I need to be in, I can talk to this group of friends. You know what, this is not what the direction I want to go in, I can talk to that group of friends. And so just seeing how my parents were raised and seeing how my parents, like, raised us is what really made me a little bit more open-minded to things. Like, even looking at my some of my brothers and sisters, there's a bunch of us, and I'm just like, all right, I can think like this. Like, I can think, I'm not going to say their names because I love them. I can think like this person, and I can have this particular life and live this particular way. But it's almost like I'm going in the same exact footsteps as my parents. I have a bunch of kids. I raised those kids. We all live together. We stay in our small area of the Bronx. We don't really move outside of it. And for me, that was just not an option. It was just like, no, I want to see more. I want to do more. And so looking at my family and seeing what they did, I think they were open-minded in moving to New York. I think they were open-minded in having so many kids and raising us the way that they did. And I'm very thankful for the things that they provided us for. But I also use it as motivation to do more and see more and be more.
Well, that was the actual last question that I had for the two of you, but I have I guess I do have another question, but I'm really throwing it on you. Is there anything else that you all would like to add, you know, as you were kind of like thinking about what you would want to say, but you didn't have a chance to express because of the questions that I asked, especially as you consider the five people that you should surround yourself with? We've talked a whole lot between the three of us about being motivated and open-minded, but you kind of touched on someone who, in my mind, as you were explaining her situation, she had all five, right? So is there anything that you all would like to elaborate on that you didn't have a chance to speak on?
I think so, kind of like what you said about her, how the person that she chose, Ms. Hellman, how all five characteristics, I think everybody has all five. It's just a matter of which one plays the biggest role in your life. Because you might be inspired or self-motivated, I might be inspired or self-motivated, but I seem more open-minded to everybody else. And so it's not that I don't have these other things. It's more so this is the one that people can see in me when they meet me. So I think everybody has all five. It's just how you express yourself.
Yeah. And then I think you said a lot of it about, like, even how your parents, they weren't, like, there were limitations that they put on themselves and why they couldn't, like, experience different things and all that. I think a lot of the reason why people are not inspired or motivated or open-minded is
passionate and grateful.
I think that too is because of, like, how people grow up. If they don't see people being go-getters, being motivated, they don't see people being open-minded, they don't see people have a passion about anything or inspired about anything, they're not. Like, so, that's just going to become who they are, too, you know?
So, for a lack of example,
yeah,
they're not able to emulate,
yeah,
which is kind of why I asked you the question that I asked you mm-hmm. earlier.
Sorry, I was going to say, and that's why, even for, like, my kids, like, TJ, I feel like TJ is all of those, but he's very, very, very open-minded. And even like, it's funny, I'll have conversations with him about stuff and he don't agree with me. And I'm like, I have to check myself. Cause I'm like, he's not being disrespectful, Felicia. He has a different opinion. And it's not that I don't see myself as open-minded. The thing is, I want him to know, like, I know more than you right now. You're not going to think this as you get older, you know, and stuff like that. And I think it's more so, like, I want to protect him, mm-hmm. you know. But at the same time, I have to tell myself, like, you don't want to limit his beliefs and, you know, all that. And then the same thing for Talia and Tariq. I want them to have all five of those things, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's like, what can I do as a parent to make sure that I don't hinder them in any of those ways, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I know for us growing up, I feel like with my dad, I feel like he had all those. He just wasn't able to show all those because my dad was the provider. He worked a lot, and he was a single parent. So we saw was the hardworking parent. Mm-hmm. I think one time we saw him crying. He came home and started crying, and then we offered to cry because we never seen him cry before. And he was very intelligent. But then, like, after he died, we moved in with my auntie, and then not open-minded at all. Mm-hmm. I don't mean not passionate. Nobody had a passion. Mm-hmm. What else? Motivated. I mean, I think they were self-motivated because they had their own businesses. So they were very self-motivated. Mm-hmm. They took care of themselves well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that right there, like, my cousin's having her own business and her mom had her own business that helped my sister Nicole. She now has her own business and she's successful, and I ain't got no business really, but with the business that I work at, I mean, I'm, you know, I try to, you know, whatever, but you know, and I think, yeah,
don't downplay yourself.
But I just, yeah, I want my kids to have all those things, and so that actually pushes me, like, I need to be more grateful because TJ has this thing right now and Slew. So I can't wait to move up out this ugly apartment. And I'm like, I had to stop TJ and tell him, because y'all know y'all hear me say that all the time. It's ugly school, it's ugly place, it's ugly car, it's ugly whatever. And I had to stop and tell TJ, I'm like, TJ, I don't want to hear you say that ever again. He was like, why? You say it all the time. I'm like, yes, but here's the thing. Right now, there's people who don't even, we look at all these people under the bridge who are like not even 100 feet from you right now, who live up under this bridge. At least we have a place to over our head. He was like, okay, yes, ma'am. So that means that for me, I got to watch what I say. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. Because I want my kids to be grateful. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them, you know, I want them to have all this. So yeah. I got to check myself.
So we've got to be an example to others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. And maybe not in the one that you show, like, but maybe in everything.
Yeah. So what do you see yourself as?
Yeah, I was about to ask the same thing.
It's interesting. When I first saw this, I was like, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this.
Yeah.
But listening to everyone, like all the people that I've interviewed thus far, it's like it's probably because I've interviewed all of you all, and I truly do believe that you all exemplify those characteristics. I'm kind of doubting myself right now. Mm-hmm. Before, I would have said, oh no, I'm completely open-minded. Not so much motivated.
I wouldn't know it's motivated for you. You stay at work. You there till like 7, 8 doing work.
I love work. Whatever it is that is my job, I love doing it. Like, I get a sense of fulfillment.
That's like the definition of motivation for me.
I would say that you have all of these, and even like self-motivated, like you are motivated for work. You are an incredibly hard worker. Mm-hmm. But even like the stuff that you do on the side, like your passion with writing and stuff, like you are amazing at that, right? And so I think I think you have all those. I think for me, the one that I would chose that stands out to you is grateful. And the reason why, I guess, was just like our experience at BRCP and like how we were able to help each other out that with one of our car situations. And like, even though you helped me out when I was able to help you out, and you were like, you were the most grateful person ever. And most people, I don't see that in most people, and I guess because of like, right?
Yeah. She's wearing her mask, so I couldn't read her lips.
I guess because of that, I don't see that in a lot of men.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
And you know, and so I think that
to crawl in the hole because I feel exposed. Are there any last parting words? I mean, I feel like that was a great closing that you all came up with, but just in case, is there anything else that y'all would like to say?
No, this was a really great conversation.
It was a good conversation.
Thank you. All right. So I'll be back in about 3 seconds to talk about the next segment. See you then.
Now we have our final guest. Our final guest is Derek V. Dream. Derek is someone that I really do consider to be very, very grateful. He had a very, his upbringings were family filled, and he always sought to aspire to become something bigger and greater than himself. At least that's what I saw him as being, especially when he was in college. That was just kind of like, that was the vibe that I got from him. And so, without going any further, once again, I just want to introduce everyone to Derek V. Dream. Derek, can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be talking with you. I am from Louisiana. I grew up, born and raised in Louisiana. From there, I went to Louisiana State University. After attending college, I moved to Atlanta, New York, and I'm currently in Los Angeles now. I am an up-and-coming author of two very good spiritual books that I've been working on the past year. I consider it my life's work, and it's my gift to the world. So I'm excited to be completing those soon, as well as publishing those and putting it out there to the world.
Okay. Not only is he grateful, but he's very busy.
Yes.
He stays busy. Which kind of leads me to why you're here. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, so let's get straight to it. Derek, okay. Why would someone like myself just automatically assume that you are living a life that is full of happiness, full of joy, so much so that you're grateful?
Got you. You know, I think, we see things first, right? As humans, as people on earth. So when you see someone and they just light up a room, or we talk to them and their conversation just brings energy to you and puts a smile on your face, I think that's a direct sign of somebody that is grateful, because I believe how you are outwardly, that's how you are inwardly. So when you're appreciative and grateful for life, having a reverence for life, appreciative of people that are in your life and things that are in your life, you show that outwardly to people. So that's the first sign of showing gratitude.
Okay. All right. So what makes you so grateful? I mean, I'm certain there was a time in your life in which you might not have even felt that sense of gratefulness. So what... especially for those of us who are listening, and we sometimes might feel that we aren't living a grateful life. So what is it that one can do to get to where you are?
Correct. So for me, for being grateful, as far as me being grateful, the fact that I'm alive today, that I could get up out of my bed and walk, that I could see. So one thing that I do that I have incorporated into my life is I show gratitude first thing in the morning, because I believe that sets the tone and the mood for the whole day. So just to show gratitude for being able to walk, because somebody was not able to get out of bed this morning, or even backtracking, somebody was not didn't wake up this morning. You know, they had their final breath while they were sleeping. So the fact that I'm alive, that I can get out of bed, that I still have physical abilities, because some people don't have physical abilities. So just being grateful for those very, very basic things in life. But, you know, to start off with gratitude, it's a choice. It's a daily choice. Because, you know, as humans, we have difficulties that occur throughout the day. And that's why it's important to show gratitude first, because it sets your mood for the day, and it creates some light within you. And it creates positive energy as opposed to negative energy, because you're going to face things as you go about your day. There will be unseen things that occur. You know, that's the normal course of life. It's human nature. So just to prepare yourself and put it on your armor first thing in the morning, that prepares you for anything that comes, that you may come across, because things will happen, especially as you start to go, aspire to do things and to create things and to accomplish goals and dreams in life. Things will come out of nowhere. So that's why it's important to show gratitude first thing in the morning. So gratitude for physical abilities, for life, and for the people that you have in your life too, and for the things that you have in your life. Because anything, anyone and anything can be taken away at any given moment in time. So that's why it's important that you show gratitude to what you still have, that what still exists during each day of your life.
So, Derek, as I was listening to you talk, I heard two major themes. I heard faith and I heard family. How much of either of those things pour into who you are as a person?
You know, I'm a very, very spiritual person. I grew up Christian, Baptist specifically, and over the course of the last few years, I've evolved to more of being a more spiritual person. And just to embrace all walks of spirituality, and not just one. And once, and I started to have an appreciation for different spiritual walks, my own, but also other people's. And I think that when you don't look at your faith and your spiritual belief as the only way to creating, to connecting with source or God or universe, whatever you want to call that, you know, that adds to just your appreciation, overall gratitude, and reverence for life. So I've evolved over time tremendously, and that's just made me a happier person inside, just to embrace all walks of life. So that's added greatly to gratitude in my life. As far as family, you know, I have a great family. I am truly blessed, you know, with my family and just my family's evolution in my spiritual journey and my journey as a person. I'm very, very grateful for my family. I think that, you know, they help shape me who I am, and they support me. I'm very, very fortunate for that. I know everybody is not as blessed as I am to have a family like me. I mean, no family is perfect. That's a given. Even the most famous family or the richest family in the world, you know, they have their difficulties and their relationship battles that occur within them. But just showing appreciation for my family, for them, for what they do add to my life. You know, it's not, I wish things, you know, if I could wave a magic wand and wish things would go a different way with my family and we would get along a little bit better and that we would understand each other better. You know, I would do that. But I think that, you know, when we can recognize our differences in our family, and we can each appreciate each other's differences, that's when things start to come together like almost like a puzzle. So I'm very grateful for my family and what they, because they've added to my life, and I'm giving back to them as well.
Okay. Well, I don't think that we have any more questions, but was there anything else that you wanted to add as we consider all the different components of what is necessary in terms of the types of people that we should be surrounding ourselves with?
Yeah, this is a very, very important topic. You know, I think a lot of us have heard that you are the product of the five people that you are around. So, you know, when you're talking about being around somebody that's inspirational, somebody that's motivated, somebody that's open-minded, passionate, and grateful, that will come across rub on you, that enlighten you. So it's important to surround yourself with different people that can add different things to your life, because that's going to, you know, give off on you, and that's going to help you become a person that has those attributes as well. So it's very important, and it's a good topic, and it's a good reminder for people of having different people that can bring different positive things within your life.
Okay, Derek, I want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for those words. I really do appreciate it. That is all. Derek, thank you, and join me in about 3 seconds so I can wrap this up.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Oh, Miss L, yeah, how you doing?
I am doing phenomenal. Thank you for asking.
Phenomenal. That's you. I love it. Well, I have invited you here because I really do think that you're probably the most inspired person that I know. And I'm not saying that with hyperbole. I really truly mean it. It's like it comes from your pores. It's just who you are. It's the way that you walk. It's the hair that you wear. It's everything about you is inspired. I'm telling you the truth. But before we get to all of that, can you introduce yourself to those who are listening?
Well, hello, world. I am Elia. My government name is Letitia Mormon. I am a poet. I am a special educator, a mom, a friend, a part-time relaxer, sipper of wine, and all things worldly. I just love life. I enjoy people, and I just love connecting with others. So that's just me.
Good. She used to say that she brings the whimsical to the situation.
I do fancy whimsy. I do. I do.
Okay. Well, I know listeners have heard us say this already, but she's here because she's inspired. She lives a life of inspiration. But what I want to do is I kind of want to start us off with a definition for what it means to be inspired. And so the definition that we're using is feeling led to do something creative. Okay. So as we think about that, so earlier as Elia described herself, she said that she was a poet. And I don't want to limit you or anyone else. Are there any other creative outlets that you might have that you had in mind that you wanted to discuss today?
Other than being a poet, I'm just going to be really generic and just pull from one of the things that I've done with this nonprofit organization that I serve on the board of directors as a secretary for. And they required us to do our Clifton Strengths. So one of the things that I delve into is pretty much being a developer. I'm one of those people that get great joy out of bringing things out of other people that sometimes they don't even know that they have. So, that's one of the things that I'm really big on, is just being an inspiration to others, to be honest, if you wanted to kind of make it connect.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. And I see that in you. And I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. I really do mean that. I mean, so many times you were like, "Hey, you should do that. You should do that." And I was like, "No, I should." And I did. And I should. So, yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. So inspired. And you, your poetry was, I guess, the first way in which I knew how talented you truly were. And not just talented. I mean, she, in her poetry, she was talking about real life, real world things. And I just wanted to ask you, so what type of attributes should a person who lives their life in a similar way as yours. What types of attributes do people look for? I mean, because the whole point of the show is trying to identify people who have these particular characteristics. So if you are led by inspiration, then what aspects of a person should you look for?
So a person that's looking to be inspired, or a person that is looking for someone to give them inspiration?
Just a person who is filled with inspiration in the hopes that that inspiration would rub off on them.
Okay. So the attributes that that person should have is definitely optimism. That's a big one for me. Definitely being optimistic because, I mean, if you live a really humdrum life and everything is just kind of half empty, you know, it's going to be really, really hard to draw inspiration if you're kind of just down in the doldrums all the time. So I would say a person should exhibit optimism. That's one. Another one is confidence. So you definitely need to be confident in your abilities. And I've struggled with that, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a perfect being, and I don't still struggle with that from time to time. However, you know, that is a huge component. So you want to be optimistic, you want to be confident. In addition to that, and I'm gonna just round it off at three. So optimistic, confident, and I guess I'm struggling with the third. I'm gonna say open. You should be open because sometimes you draw inspiration from places that you would never think that you would find it. You know, oftentimes I might come across a random smell and, you know, draw inspiration from that. And I'm like, oh my God, I've had writer's block for 6 months and I smell something. And it's like, oh, well, this makes me think about that. So I'm gonna write now. Right. So, yeah. So attributes, I would say optimistic, confident, and openness or vulnerability, if you want to make it a little more, formal.
Ooh, you just talked about two different things, and I'm trying to figure out which thing I want to talk about first. All right. So what I want you to do, help me out. you just said it and I forgot already. What did you just say?
Okay. See, this is why you and I, we need like 3 hours because because our brains are over analytical and it's like we'll stumble into something and then it's like, aha, you know, and it's been gone for days. So maybe you should have did me last. But okay.
No, really, I need you to tell me.
I should have been last. This might need to be a two-part segment.
So you mentioned earlier something about motivation and what was it? Being open-minded. You never use the word motivation, but basically what you were saying is be motivated. And you said be open. Very similar to being open-minded. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about was the fact that I actually think that you're all five of those characteristics. No, I'm serious. Like you are inspired, you are motivational, right? And not just being motivational, but you are yourself motivated, right? You are definitely passionate, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm also modest. Even though that was not on the list.
Not on the list, but yes, you are. And you're passionate, right?
Definitely, about everything.
So that's why I said, like, when I originally reached out to you, I was like, you're really all five. You're just the person that I think, out of all the people that I know, when it comes to, like, that category, being inspired, you're at the top. So it was just kind of kismet that you said, you know, those other characteristics. And it just kind of let me know that I chose correctly. Oh no, she's not modest.
Look, I appreciate all of those accolades that you have graciously bestowed upon me. Yeah, that means a lot. Just I struggle.
You struggle. Talk to us. What do you mean you struggle? How do you struggle? And how do you bounce back?
So, I bounce back by being purposeful about getting inspired. Because I mean, let's be honest, like, although that is, you know, one of my characteristics, it's not 100% of the time. Nothing's 100%. So like in the past, like it's been serendipitous about, you know, drawing inspiration or being inspired. But now I will very purposefully, like, listen to a certain song or watch a certain video or talk to a certain person, and they probably won't even know that that's what I'm doing, or even send a text message, or like sometimes I'll text you like completely randomly and you won't know that I might be like just needing to be inspired or just needing to hear from you in some form to get inspired. So basically, just doing the things that I know that bring me inspiration so I can continue to thrive, you know.
So are you saying that sometimes it's as simple as the routine of life inspires you?
Definitely. I mean, and the people you do life with, you know, definitely.
How do you do life?
Well, when life tries to do me. Yeah, I'm goofy. So when life tries to do me, I do life by surrounding myself with people or the things that I know will be helpful, you know, to kind of pull me out of whatever negative headspace I'm in. Because, I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely happens.
I feel you. Well, good.
I miss your energy.
You miss my energy. I miss your energy. So let's go through the process, right? So if you're inspired, and some people, let's say they have 4 to 5, and they're working on themselves, and they want to be that source of inspiration for others, right? And so, you know, how should one approach that? Like, how should they become an inspiration to others? Or find inspiration in them for themselves.
So you definitely can't be an inspiration to anybody else if you don't, one, trust yourself, you know, to even be that. And it's like you got to kind of get past the thinking, oh, who am I, or not feeling arrogant, because I've experienced that. Like, dang, you know, people are always saying, oh, thank you for this or that. And then I kind of like draw back, like, well, wait, I don't want them to think this or think that, you know, that Virgo mind overthinking everything and picking things apart and putting it back together. So anyway, in order to be an inspiration to others, you have to trust yourself that you are the one that is the perfect one for this job, for this opportunity to provide that to someone else. So definitely you have to have that trust, you know, within yourself. Also, you got to keep yourself healthy and motivated and inspired, because if you're depleted, you know, and spread too thin, then you're not going to be an inspiration at all. So, you know, I have a really, really bad habit of spreading myself thin, trying to put on the cape for everybody else, and then I'm in a white coat hugging myself in a freaking mess of war before you know it. So, you know, self-care, you know, all of that to say self-care is a big piece of being an inspiration to others. So definitely trust yourself and self-care, you know. And being okay with the fact that sometimes you're not going to be able to inspire everyone. You know,
okay. That's
just what it is.
So you said self-care, and you mentioned, you know, being in the straight jacket. But what about taking care of yourself physically? Like, how does that springboard into the mental?
Oh, my goodness. So, like, if your body is not, you know, cared for, then your mind is not going to be in the proper place. Because, for instance, if, like, we know I could win any Miss Thicker Than a Snicker contest. However, I mean, I spend a great deal of time, like I may go jump rope or just go for a walk or play basketball or something. And that helps my brain to be in a better space to even get these thoughts or, you know, help other people or have enough energy to even, you know, deal with some of the things that kind of come my way or that I'm thrown into. So definitely the physical, you know, is directly connected to the mental. It is. It is. It's,
Let me ask you a question. This is probably like a probing, deep question that you might not necessarily even saw coming. For those people who are creative or who are self-inspired, many people would say that they are offbeat. You might not even think of yourself in that way. But my point, to this is basically saying it's not necessarily that you're offbeat. You're comfortable enough in yourself to not care about the mainstream or, you know, what is the norm. To do and be who and what you are, you're comfortable in that. You trust yourself.
Mm, I like what you did there.
To be who and what you are and not care about what others say, because in truth, once you trust yourself, once you're able to stand and, yeah, you know, I do this or, you know, I am this, which is not typical. But as a result, I'm able to then create this. How true of a statement is it? I'm asking.
So, I guess in a sense, like since you broke it down, that makes more sense. So offbeat, being creative and being offbeat, like you do things differently from others. Well, to begin with, something creative, that's something that no one else thought of. No one can think of my words the way that I'm going to say it and the way that I'm going to do it. So in essence, that makes sense to me because, I mean, that would make me an outlier. That would make me different. How in the world would you come up with these words this way, you know, with this rhythm? So it does. Or like you've worked with me before. There may be a room of 20 people and I'm the one person standing in the back, like doodling and drawing and thinking of my next poem. So I guess that makes sense, you know, with being offbeat. So I would say that has a great deal of accuracy now that you've explained kind of what you mean, because it's like, well, damn, I guess I am offbeat. And I like it. I like it because my rhythm, my beat, my flow is different. It's me. It's unique. And I'm fine with it.
No, most definitely. And I think my point in asking the question was basically to say that we all need to be comfortable with how we're different. It's those differences that make us unique, which make us special.
Right. Certainly.
That was my point. Like we should all be living in our special, because our special is what makes us great. And who are you? You started off, who are we to be less than? Like you said something to that effect, right? And like, yeah, be great. Being great means that you're not going to be like everybody else, because in order to be great, you got to be ahead of the pack. And to be ahead of the pack, there's something special about you. How do you become special?
You may not even be in the pack. And that's fine too.
Right. Right. That was my point. I don't know if you received it that way. It came from love.
I'm loving it. I'm glad that you actually presented that, because at first I was like, wait, what? off beat. I got more rhythm than a little bit. No, in all seriousness, it was like, I guess you're right. It went from off beat to off beat.
Well, good. No, I didn't mean to. I think our time has come and gone, but that was because I really did enjoy the conversation and what we were able to get out. I'll steal it from some other people. Don't worry about it. But we're going to go into another segment. Is there anything that you wanted to share with us before we leave?
Before we leave, at DJ Holmes, I appreciate you for having me on and trusting me with my words and my way and my quirky and my whimsicalness and all these things. So I just appreciate you having me on and working with me and all of my loquaciousness as well. So thank you.
All right. In about 3 seconds, we will begin the next segment. So again, Elia, thank you.